आत्मात्मवतामधीश्वर त्रयीमयो धर्ममयस्तपोमयः गतव्यलीकेरजशङ्करादिभिः वितर्क्यलिङ्गो भगवान् प्रसीदताम् स एष आत्मात्मवतामधीश्वर त्रयीमयो धर्ममयस्तपोमयः गतव्यलीकेरजशङ्करादिभिः वितर्क्यलिङ्गो भगवान् प्रसीदताम् स एष आत्मात्मवतामधीश्वर त्रयीमयो धर्ममयस्तपोमयः गतव्यलीकेरजशङ्करादिभिः वितर्क्यलिङ्गो भगवान् प्रसीदताम् माताजी गतवली कर शंकरादिभि वितर्क लिंगो भगवान वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग काइंडली रिपीट सह ही एषः इट इज आत्मा द सुपर सोल आत्मवताम ऑफ द सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड सोल्स अधीश्वरः द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड त्रयीमयः पर्सोनिफाइड वेदास धर्ममयः personified religious scripture tapamaya personified austerity gatavyalike by those who are above all pretensions aja brahmaji shankara adibi by lord shiva and others Vitarkyalingah, one who is observed with awe and veneration. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam, be kind toward me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. He is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that supreme absolute be pleased with me. Purport by Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, although the Lord of all followers of different paths of realization, is knowable only by those who are above all pretensions. Everyone is searching for eternal peace or eternal life. And with and aim of aim to this destination. Everyone is either studying the Vedic scriptures or other religious scriptures, or undergoing severe austerities as empiric philosophers, as mystic yogis, or as unalloyed devotees, etc. But the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized only by the devotees, because they are above all pretensions. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally classified as karmis, jnanis, yogis, or devotees of the Lord. The karmis, who are much attracted by the fruitive activities of the Vedic rituals, are called bhukti kami, or those who desire material enjoyment. The jnanis, who try to become one with the Supreme by mental speculation, are called mukti kami, or those who desire liberation from material existence. The mystic yogis, who practice different types of austerities for attainment of 8 kinds of material perfection, and who ultimately meet the super soul Paramatma in trance, are called Siddhikami. Or those who desire the perfection of becoming finer than the finest, becoming heavier than the heaviest, getting everything desired, having control over everyone, creating everything light, etc. All these are abilities of a powerful yogi. But the devotees of the Lord do not want anything like that for self-satisfaction. They want only to serve the Lord, because the Lord is great, and as living entities, they are eternally subordinate part and parcels of the Lord. This perfect realization of the self by the devotees helps him to become desireless, to desire nothing for his personal self. And thus, the devotees are called nishkami, without any desire. A living entity by his constitutional position cannot be void of all desires. The bhuktikami, muktikami and siddhikami all desire something for personal satisfaction. But the nishkami devotees of the Lord desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. They are completely dependent on the orders of the Lord and are always ready to discharge their duty for the satisfaction of the Lord. In the beginning, Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction. For he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without any pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight, Karishye Vachanam Tava. And thus, he became desireless. The examples of Brahma and Lord Shiva are specifically cited here because Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Srimati Lakshmiji and the 4 Kumaras, Sanat, Sanatan, etc. are leaders of the 4 desireless Vaishnava Sampradayas. They are all freed from all pretensions. Srila Jiva Goswami interprets the word Gatavyalikai as Projitah Kaitavahi, or those who are freed from all pretensions, the unalloyed devotees only. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 19 chapter 149th shloka, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkamata Eva Shanta, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakaliya Shanta. Those who are after fruitive results for their pious activities, those who desire salvation and identity with the Supreme, and those who desire material perfections of mystic power, are all restless because they want something for themselves. But the devotee is completely peaceful because he has no demand for himself and is always ready to serve the desire of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, the Lord is for everyone, because no one can achieve the result of his respective desires without his sanction. But as stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 8.9, all such results are awarded by him only, for the Lord as a is Adishwara, the original controller of everyone, namely the Vedantist, the great Karma Kandiyas, the great religious leaders, the great performers of austerity, and who are striving for spiritual advancement. But ultimately, he is realized by the pretension-less devotee only. Therefore, special stress is given to the devotional service of the Lord by Srila Sukadev Goswami. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Asaduna Sadutadayam Atinicho Chatakara Hanamum Chakadachin Premna Matakantavyaspuram. Hare Krishna, I seek blessings from all the assembled devotees so that I can speak, which can inspire all of us and help us to progress in our devotional service. Hare Krishna. So here a beautiful explanation about Krishna's devotees and how to achieve Krishna has been given by Srila Prabhupada. So the second canto, the chapter entitled as The Process of Creation. So Parikshit Maharaj has inquired about Krishna's creation instead of asking Krishna's Leela. Because these are the most attractive aspect of Krishna's personality, his performance of Leelas. But he is asking about creation, which most of us try to close or run through. But pure devotees, they generally, they are inspired by everything, whatever is there related to Krishna. So on the verge of death, Parikshit Maharaj is asking about creation. And that is quite inspiring for him. Similarly, in the life of Prabhupada, we see that. In 1977, there was a huge Cross Maidan Pandal festival. Prabhupada, like, those were the days where Prabhupada was, his health was really very down, frail, could not walk, could not speak. So, in this pandal, Prabhupada was brought on the stretcher. Devotees brought him on the stretcher. And everyone was confused whether Prabhupada is going to speak or not. So, Prabhupada asked Bhavananda Maharaj, read from Srimad Bhagavatam. And interestingly, that canto was second canto. And the just chapter before this, Bhavananda Prabhu was reading. And as he was reading, Prabhupada, which was lying on the stretcher, and as he was hearing the second canto translation and purport, gradually he was getting up. He got a strength. And once that purport got finished, Prabhupada roared like thunder. And he, for next 40-45 minutes, at a stretch, without any gap, without any weaknesses, he spoke such a brilliant class. And everyone was mesmerized. So Prabhupada was getting strength even from the second canto purports and the second canto translation and the description. So for a pure devotee, anything related to Krishna inspires him. He doesn't see anything differently. So his strength is coming. The pure devotees are generally, they are driven by love of God. And that love of God is manifested in their compassion. And that compassion we can see that even in that frail condition, one who is on a stretcher could speak so brilliantly, so clearly, clarity in his speech. So pure devotees, they are driven by the compassion. And the living entities, they are driven by the passion. Passion means desires. So here, it is explained in this purport that devotees are desireless. And that is the state. What has been said here, that a devotee is that one who understands the greatness of Lord. This is the first criteria. And the second one has been discussed is that is very important. Sometimes people understand God is great. But the second condition what Prabhupada writes here is very important. And what is that second condition? That we are eternally subordinate to the Supreme Person. So this second condition is very unique to the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Because there are many religions who talk about greatness of God. God is great. But when it comes to second condition, that I am eternally subordinate to the Lord, to that great person, there everything mismatches. Most of the time, the most of the religion, most of the philosophies, they talk, okay, God is great and I can also enjoy. Or I can become that great. So here, when a living entity, the jiva, understands this, that God is great and the subordinate, not only for some time, but eternally subordinate, that is the state that is called Shuddha Sattva. When a living entity is situated in that state of Shuddha Sattva, then and then only he will be able to understand God. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam yadayate tatra pumana pravrittah sattvecha tasmin bhagavan vasudevo hi adakshajo me manasa vidiyate. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. This is 4th canto, 3rd chapter, 23rd verse. But it has been explained that how a living entity can understand Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also known as Shuddha Sattva. Vasudev is all-pervading. That's consciousness. So, one of the theme of this purport and what Prabhupada has written is that a devotee should be above all pretensions to worship the Lord. Means he should go beyond all the pretensions to understand God. And then pretensions, as Yuga Goswami also explains that, projitaha kaitavai, devoid of all desires. So I wanted to discuss on this topic that why can't we see God or I can't see God? What stops us to see God, although He's there in front of us? Why we lack that experience? So I'll try to discuss on this topic, what are the causes and how we can overcome those causes. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains about this. This is in 4th chapter. It's very interesting. In the 4th chapter, Krishna was talking about Karma Yoga and various things in the previous chapters. In 2nd chapter, he discussed about Karma Yoga and all the summaries he gave about different yogas, how to attain spiritual perfection. 3rd chapter, he talked about Karma Yoga again. And in 4th chapter, without Arjuna's question, Krishna begins the chapter. There is no question asked by Arjuna in the 4th chapter. So wherever Krishna gets this liberty to speak, without asked by Arjuna, he talks about devotional service. He talks about him. In 7th chapter also, he begins about what is his nature, how bhakti is exalted. Similarly, in 9th chapter, so wherever he gets that liberty, he talks about bhakti and about his nature, how to achieve him. So all those things are explained by Krishna. So in 4th chapter, he talks about how to achieve him. Why he is speaking all those things about bhakti? Because bhakti, as Prabhupada writes here, is the only way to understand and to understand Krishna and to know him. Sevayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanah bhakto sime sakacheti rahasyam hetaduttamam. So Krishna is talking that I'm going to talk about the rahasya, the mystery, which is the exalted in nature. So translation, Prabhupada writes, the very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme. The very ancient science, it is called science of the Supreme, science of relationship with the Supreme. I am going to tell you today, because you are my devotees, as well as friend, and therefore you understand, you are going to understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So many times people say, we don't understand what is bhakti, what is Krishna, what is all about. It is so simple. But why can't we understand, or why people fail to understand devotional service, bhakti? The reason is given over here. That bhakti means I act for the pleasure of the Lord. And most of the living entities in this world, living entities are infatuated with how can I enjoy. So all other paths, they give some liberty to living entities to experience that enjoyment for self. And therefore all other paths looks very easy, no matter how tedious, how ordeal, and how difficult it is. Still people are very much attracted to other paths of spirituality. Why? Because there is some space to enjoy yourself. And therefore, even though Gyan Marga is so difficult, still people aspire to understand that. People try to practice that. Why? Because there is enjoyment for the self. But when it comes to bhakti, although it's very simple, as Prabhupada said, what you have to do? Chant and be happy. But still people find it so difficult. Kyun? Why? Because the foundation principle of devotional service is, whatever I do for the pleasure of the Lord. I do for the pleasure of Gopinath. And that doesn't fit in the equation of conditioned material living entity. And therefore it seems difficult. It looks very odious to chant, to hear, to glorify Krishna. And therefore Krishna says, bhakto sime saka cheti rahasyam hetaduttamam. You will be able to understand this science because you are my devotee. And not only that, you are my sakha. To be sakha means pretensionless. To be bhakta means without desires. And therefore, you will be able to understand. So, Prabhupada also writes here, this is an ancient science. Science, there is a difference between science and sect or cult. What does cult means or sect means? A sect or cult means which is solely dependent or follows whatever founder is speaking, or whatever founder is saying is the truth. That is the sect or cult. But what does science mean? Science basically means it implies strict adherence to its laws. And it is universal. It is applicable everywhere. So bhakti is not some cult or sect. Practicing devotional service is not some cult. Prabhupada writes, or Krishna is saying, it is an ancient science. Science means everyone can experience if the laws are follows. If laws are properly practiced, then anyone and everyone can get result of experiencing Krishna. So, what is the outcome of this science? Why do we want to follow this science of relationship with Krishna? The outcome we expect or desire from this science is to see Krishna face to face. That is the only desire. That is the only... We can say that is the result we expect following this science of devotional service. We want to see Krishna. And that is what bhakti is. We want to experience Krishna. That is bhakti. As Taittiriya Upanishad says, the definition of God, raso vai saha. Raso vai saha means he is a rasa. And rasa you want to test. So, we all want to experience or taste Krishna. That is the outcome of the science. Where a living entity is able to experience Krishna. Who is Vitarkalingo. Who is full of rasas. Emporium, as Prabhupada writes. Emporium of rasa. So, to see Krishna means to taste rasa. So we are there in front of him. Every day morning we sing. Krishna is there. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. We sing and we go away. You are there and I am on my own. But to experience Krishna means to experience that spiritual bliss. That means my heart is ultimately transformed. From all those desire for self-enjoyment to Krishna's enjoyment. And that is rahasya, that is the mystery. So, if we want to see Krishna and we don't have bhakti, you know, many songs we hear, Radhe Radhe, Krishna Se Milade, isn't it? Huh? We want to see Krishna, Darshan Kab Doge Krishna, isn't it? There are so many songs and we get so carried away, oh Krishna, when will I see you? I want to see you. If we try to see Krishna without bhakti, it will be disastrous. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that there was one washerman, Kamsa had. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. That this washerman, in his previous life, he meditated for hundreds of years. And what was he asking? He was asking, Krishna, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. And his desire to see Krishna got fulfilled. It was bestowed. He saw Krishna. When Krishna entered Mathura on the invitation of Kamsa, so all the ladies, when they saw Krishna, their heart was attracted with devotion. They could see him as a personified beauty. Their devotion swelled up. And the same Krishna comes ahead that washerman. He was carrying Kamsa's clothes. And Krishna asked him, give me those clothes. What did that washerman said? You coward boy, do you think equal to Kamsa in this way? He said. You are desiring king's dresses, enjoyment, get out from here. He saw Krishna, washerman saw Krishna without bhakti. It became disastrous. What happened? Krishna had to cut his head. So when we try to see Krishna without bhakti, this is what happens. So to have a devotion, to have that mood of service is very important. We don't want to enjoy Krishna. We don't want to enjoy things related to Krishna. We don't want to enjoy the world. What we want? We want to serve. And that is the meaning of a bhakta. And that is the meaning of a bhakti. That I want to serve you, Krishna. Bhakto si me sakha cheti. So when we have this internal mood, bhakti is not about how good tilak you have, how good shikha you have, what kind of dress you are wearing, how much externally devotion you show, your eyes are filled with tears and the tears are rolling down and you are rolling in the dust of Raja. It's all okay. But what is your internal mood? That decides how much devotion one has. If your internal mood is only of rebellious, I want to enjoy, I want to establish myself, then everything is useless. That is not what Krishna is saying about. Krishna is talking about bhakto sime sakha cheti. And that on, then only you will be able to understand the rahasya. And this rahasya is simple. What is that rahasya? That I want to serve you, Krishna. I don't want anything for myself. And that is what Prabhupada writes here. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami shatale asant. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayava shant. So why ashanti is there? As we were discussing. Because there is a lot of passion inside us. And that passion drives a living entity to get this, get that. So in that purport of fourth chapter, this shloka, Sevaya Maya Tedya, Prabhupada writes, there are two classes of men. There are two classes of men. One are devatas, devotees, and another one is asuras. So the definition, the meaning of asura is very interesting. Asu means life. Asu means life. And ra means to enjoy. Or one who loves. So asura means one who loves the life. Or in another sense, asura means one who wants to enjoy life as much as I can. That is the meaning of a asura. So by this definition, our understanding of asura, who is having big means thorns, protruding belly or canine teeth, is shattered. One who wants to squeeze every bit of life to enjoy for the enjoyment for the self is the asura. So asura means one who wants to enjoy life. And what does rakshasa means? And asuras are mainly in the mode of passion. Avajananti maam mudha manushin tanumashrita param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. That what Lord Krishna says. That avajananti maam mudha, even if I come in front of those people who have this understanding to enjoy life, they consider me as ordinary human being. Manushim tanum ashrita. So those kind of people won't understand me. So the mode of passion won't allow you to understand Krishna. And second, in the next shloka, Krishna says, Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasi masurim chaiva mohini prakriti sthita. Mohinim prakriti sthita. So, rakshasim asurim chaiva, such kind of mentality. So, asuras are in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, and rakshasas are in the mode of ignorance. Tamogun. So, what is the difference between rakshasa and asuras? So, asuras, they want to enjoy as much as they want. They can squeeze out. And rakshasas are those who want to give pain to others and enjoy that pain. That is, therefore they are in the mode of ignorance. And mode of passion, I want to enjoy as much as. So, living entity has been tarnished by this rajogun and tamogun. How I can enjoy, how much I can enjoy, and how much I can inflict pain on others. And when I inflict pain on others, I feel some enjoyment inside. So, Krishna is saying, to such people, I cannot reveal myself. I don't reveal myself. So one has to come to the sattva. Without coming to sattva, without getting rid of those things of tamogun and rajogun, we will not be able to experience Krishna. We will not be able to understand. We will not be able to experience that bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, as long as one remains in tamogun and rajogun, experience of Krishna is far away. And if you don't experience Krishna, then what you want to experience? You want to experience material success. You want to experience material object. You want to experience everything what fall in your vision, come in your contact. Of course, we want to experience rasa. So if Krishna's rasa is absent, you get attracted to the material rasa. And therefore, many times devotee asks, Prabhuji, can we drink beer which is non-alcoholic? Can we smoke cigarette which is nicotine-free? Isn't it? Can we drink that a cafe which is doesn't have intoxicant? Why these things comes up? And devotee will say, this is all right. Nicotine alcoholic free hai, to beer lene mein kya? There are now many products like that. Why that even devotee asks? Because he is lacking in experience of Krishna. He gets attracted. Can we eat chocolate? Okay, whether eat or not, that is. But the thing is, what hampers our sattva guna is our desires which manifest in different ways to enjoy. So whether eating or not, drinking or not, that is not the question. The bhakti means I am ready to dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to come to the point of sattva guna? where we can experience Krishna. And once you experience Krishna, you don't ask this question, which has a innate desire. I want to enjoy. But somehow or other, abhi kya kare? Bhakti mein to aa gaye hai. Directly to beer nahi pi sakte. But I want that experience of beer. I want experience of that smoking. I want the experience of that meat, which I used to eat. So we try to find out all those substances, which gives that experience. So coming to sattva is very important, because that is where we experience Krishna. That is the progressive step. And also, this is a very beautiful story. If we want to see Krishna, we have to act the way he says. So this is the story of Laila and Majnu. So Majnu was a very famous poet, and he wrote describing the beauty of a Laila. And it was so mesmerizing. Anyone who read those poems, everyone got attracted. And this was in Arab countries. So no one able to see the beauty of Laila, because they would have burqa and they would be always covered with the veils, parda. So those poems reach the king of the country. And when he read those poems, the description of the beauty of a Laila, he also got attracted to that beauty. So he ordered Majnu to come to the court. And he ordered him, see, I am the king of this country. And I want to see the beauty of your lover, your wife, Laila. Because in that country, in those countries, basically, the wife or the lover, they don't show themselves unless husband or lover. So king ordered that you have to bring her here. I want to see her beauty. So now Majnu was helpless, that king has ordered. So he brought her to the court, wrapped in burqa and barda. Everything of her body was wrapped. So one by one, all the burqa parda was taken away. And when that king saw the Laila, he was gasped. He was flabbergasted. Not with admiration, but with terror. The lady, the Laila, had a flat nose, had a long ears, and was not what Majnu had written. So the king was terrified. He asked that Majnu, is this the beauty you were describing? Where is that beauty? Why can't I see that? So the Majnu said that, my dear king, very dignified. He said, my dear king, to see the beauty of Laila, you need the eyes of a Majnu. Without having the eyes of a Majnu, you cannot see the beauty of Laila. Similarly, this is very symbolic. To see Krishna's beauty, we need the eyes of bhakti, the vision of a bhakti. Without that, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's experience will be terrifying. Therefore, as long as pretension is there, we cannot experience Krishna.
Yatha yatatma parimrijyate so mat punya gatha shravana bhidane tatha tatha pashyati vastu sukshmam chakshu yathaivanjana samprayuktam.
So this is 11th canto shloka, where the description how one can experience, because yatha sukshmam Krishna, just like we hear in Bhagavad Gita, everything goes subtler. Gross things we can experience very easily, but to experience subtle things is very difficult. Experience of the soul, experience of mind, that is subtle than the gross experiences. And most subtle is Krishna. So to experience that most subtle thing, Krishna, what has been explained? Yatha yathatma parimrijyate so. Parimrijyate, here it has been yatha, so is explained as the soul gets purified. How the soul gets purified?
Mata punya gatha shravana vidanai.
How soul gets purified? Soul gets purified by continuously hearing about Krishna, punya gatha or punya katha. By repeatedly hearing about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, purifies the soul. Or speaking abhidhani, speaking about Krishna.
Tatha tatha pashyati vastu sukshman.
So what is the result of such hearing? Pashyati. Pashyati means not only just seeing, experiencing. Pashyati means experience also. Feeling.
Yatha sukshmam.
Sukshman means subtle. Subtle truth is experienced by those people who continuously hear about Krishna, Krishna's glories, Krishna's pastimes, things related to Krishna. Just like chakshur yathevan janasamprayuktam, just like if somebody's eyes, the vision, is been obstructed by some disease, some cataract. So, yathanjana, by applying the ointment, a Ayurvedic ointment, that disease been taken away. Similarly, the anjan of Krishna katha, Krishna nama kirtan, association of the devotees, takes away that contamination from the heart of a living entity. And when that contamination goes away, he experiences yatha sukshmam, the most subtle truth, Krishna. And when one experiences Krishna, then he doesn't desire to experience anything of this world. He doesn't desire any siddhis. He doesn't desire any achievement. Or he doesn't want himself to propagate. He is happy to serve Krishna, to follow his instructions. So these are the few thoughts on this beautiful shloka given by Prabhupada and the purport. The things which I discussed today, just to summarize the whole thing. To understand Krishna, to see Krishna, to experience Krishna, which has been experienced by the devotees. First thing, we have to get rid of the modes of passion and ignorance. We have to come to the platform of sattva. And not only sattva is sufficient to understand Krishna, we also need bhakti to experience Krishna. Because he says, bhakto sime sakha cheti. So bhakti is the important ingredient to experience Krishna. And what does bhakti means? What does bhakta means? Bhakti means, I want to serve you, Krishna. Not for my enjoyment, for your enjoyment. And that is the desire of a bhakta. So how he becomes desireless? By pleasing Krishna, his desires. And this bhakti is developed when we continuously hear about Krishna, when we chant in the association of the devotees, when we hear in the association of the devotees. And gradually, we start experiencing the bliss of spiritual life. And that bliss of spiritual life helps you to transcend the material cravings, which comes in different form. So I would like to stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comment or any question, please feel free to ask. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Srila Prabhupada. There is a question. Sorry.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Great lecture. Thank you very much. But I want to know, you have specified that difference between asuras and rakshasas, but I did not understand, they are on the same platform or they are different?
A rakshasa can also be asura. Means there is a tendency of enjoying everything and giving pain to others. So, both can happen. Both feelings can be experienced. So, asura is just want to enjoy no matter what. That is the understanding of asura, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And rakshasa means he will be only happy when he will give others pain. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he ordered that you inflict pain on the brahmanas. He ordered that way. So by giving pain to others, he can enjoy that pain also, sadistic enjoyment. Nanda and Dulal Prabhu can add to this, please.
Hare Krishna. Just adding, Satyananda Prabhu already mentioned nicely, is that we hear Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is an amsha of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gets happy very fast. And gets angry very fast. Ashutosh, right? So Durvasa Muni also has that quality. That he also gets angry very fast and he gets pleased very fast. So with Kunti, he became pleased very fast. And then he gave her a benediction that you can call any devata, and then we know the story. Now Duryodhan also pleased Durvasa. And Durvasa got pleased with Duryodhan. But instead of asking some good benediction, what does Duryodhan ask? Duryodhan says, so Durvasa is pleased and Durvasa says, what do you want from me? So he could have asked something good to benefit himself. What does he ask? He's thinking, he has that mentality of causing pain to others. So he says, the Pandavas are right now in the forest. And he knows that they have Akshay Patra. And Akshay Patra will continue to give food till Draupadi eats. So he says, I want you to visit the Pandavas after noon time. Why? The point is, when he visits the Pandavas after noon time, the Pandavas are so gentlemanly, Pandavas will definitely invite him for prasad. But by that time, the Pandavas have finished prasad, the Snatakas have finished prasad, and the last person to eat prasad is Draupadi. So after Draupadi takes her meal, there is no prasad. But Yudhishthir is such a gentleman, it is not possible that Durvasa Rishi goes there and Yudhishthir says, no prasad for you. So, no prasad in the jungle. Now in the jungle, if all the cooking has happened and Draupadi cannot cook any prasad and Yudhishthir invites Durvasa for prasad, what will happen? I'm asking you. You are invited to somebody's home for prasad and there is no prasad. What will happen to you? You will get angry. What will happen if Durvasa Muni gets angry? When Durvasa Muni gets angry, he will give a curse. So, you know, Vaishnavas or great souls are like Kalpataru. Kalpataru means they can give whatever benediction you want. And in that sense, Durvasa Rishi blessed Kunti with such a big benediction. Can you imagine Surya, Indra, Dharmaraj coming and giving a child to Kunti? And on the other side, when Duryodhan gets a similar benediction by the same person, instead of asking for a benefit for himself, his wish is how to inflict pain on the Pandavas and how to land them in a problem so that they get a curse of Durvasa Rishi. So this is that asuric mentality. Instead of asking for a benediction for yourself, you want to cause pain to others. Another example I'll give you, Vrikasur. Vrikasur pleased Lord Shiva. Again the same person, Ashutosh. So when Lord Shiva became pleased with him, he said, yes, what do you want? He said, give me a benediction on whoever's head I put my hand, that head will break. He could have asked from Shiva Mukti. You know, Lord Shiva can give Mukti also. He can give Bhakti also. But instead of asking for mukti and bhakti, which is the real solution to all our problems, he's thinking, how can I destroy others? So from Lord Shiva, he's asking a benediction to destroy somebody's head. And after that, what does he do? The first person on whom he wants to do that benediction is
Lord
Shiva himself. Can you imagine this asuric mentality? The person who's feeding you, you want to bite that person's hand. So it's basically, you know, not being grateful for what we have received and always trying to receive benedictions and trying to give harm to others. So that feeling, sadistic pleasure, Prabhuji used that word, sadistic pleasure. Sadistic pleasure means when somebody cries, you become happy. So that is that asuric rakshasi mentality. So somebody may be a human being, but in that human being body, he has that rakshasi mentality. Duryodhan is a human being, but he has that sadistic pleasure mentality. I hope I helped you in some way. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nandadalal Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada, the key.
Sure.